How many of y'all remember 1987? 1987. 1987. Yeah, most of you like don't, right? 1987. Actually, that was the year, well, y'all, some of y'all know my testimony. That was the year I was supposed to graduate. That was the original graduation year for me, 1987. Oh, maybe not. Maybe you don't remember. What about this name, Jessica McClure? Anybody remember that name? What about maybe this picture? Well, maybe this picture will, or maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe not this picture. Maybe this next picture of Jessica. This is Jessica McClure, also known as Baby Jessica. Back in 1987, this child is 18-year-old. She is not 18 years old. You can take that off. It's kind of disturbing. But she was 18 months old, fell down a sewer. I don't know, it was a kind of water pipe thingy. And she was there for 58 hours, baby Jessica, and was trapped. And local paramedics, the fire department, world, like news all over. How many of y'all remember that story? How many of y'all, wow. There's a lot of things we can say about how many people are in this room. Yeah. Sorry. So, how many of y'all do not remember? Just how many of y'all do not remember? Okay. Praise God. All right. So this story was all across the news. It was like live coverage. It was it was one of those stories that gripped the nation, right? And so these firefighters, it was amazing. Actually, in preparation, there's actually it's a really cheesy movie. I don't really recommend it. It's terrible acting and all the stuff, but it was really powerful because it told the story of how they dug down beside that hole and dug across, and it was really hopeless. And the paramedics and the guys who went down there were just amazing, and they rescued that baby Jessica, and the whole country erupted. And that first picture is her. That's the picture. She actually today she still carries a scar down the front center of her, because when they pulled her out, it scraped the front center of her. And she lost her toe because one of her legs was vertical up in the pipe and the blood circulation and everything. And she actually lost the toe. But although, you know, from those things, she's perfectly fine. She actually, she's amazing. Actually, she's amazing. I don't have time to go into it, but she's an amazing woman. She just does amazing stuff, and she serves other people. And it's just, she's amazing. But that story, I've said that story. And I'm going to bring it up later, and we're going to go to the scripture. This scripture, we're going to go to Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. Jesus is, he's doing his thing. He's over, and he's over across the sea, and he's over across the lake, rather, and he's over, and he's casting out devils, and there's that moment where he cast out the devils and the Gadarenes, and there's a whole story about that. He gets in a boat and he crosses back over. And immediately when he gets over, there's a crowd that is there waiting on to, this is where Jesus is, his ministry is full on, right? And people are knowing and coming from everywhere. The words about Jesus are coming everywhere. So he crosses over the sea and this guy comes up to him and his name is Jairus. And it's amazing. Like, so this guy was a leader in the synagogue. So, and Jesus in the synagogue, they didn't really see eye to eye, right? But what I'm impressed about this guy, Jairus, is he comes up to Jesus in public. In public. He's not like the priest who kind of met Jesus in private. He comes up to him in public. And he says, hey, my daughter is dying, right? My daughter is dying. Will you please come? I just thought that was amazing how this guy with so much to lose, right? He had so much to lose and so much of his own person and what he did and the repercussions of him interacting with Jesus. And not only that, but saying, hey, will you come and pray for my daughter? Those implications are huge. Yet he does it anyway. He doesn't even do it like in the secret, like, hey, Jesus, could you come on? No, he does it in public, like open when the crowds are pressing on him. So Jesus agrees, of course, and Jesus walks and he's walking through the crowd and there's just all this, but it's just, like I said, he's in the height of his ministry. And he is being pressed everywhere, all around him. There are people who's coming up to him. But then there's this woman who touches him in a different kind of way. And so I want to talk about that. Let's read that starting in verse 24. It says, so Jesus went with him, talking about the Jairus, and a large crowd was following and pressing against him. Verse 25, a woman suffering from bleeding for 12 years, had endured much under many doctors. She had spent everything she had and was not helped at all. Only the contrary, she became worse. And having heard about Jesus, she came up to him in the crowd and touched his clothing. For she said, if I just touched his clothes, I will be made well. Instantly, the flow of blood ceased, and she sensed it in her body that she was healed of her affliction. Immediately, Jesus realized that power, everybody said power, had gone out of him, had gone from him. He turned to the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said, you see the crowd, right? I added the right. Pressing against you, and yet you say, who touched me? But he was looking around to see who had done this. And the woman, with fear and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. Verse 34, daughter, he said to her, your faith has saved you. Go in peace and be healed from your affliction. We read this story and there's so much in here, right? There's thousands of messages that have been preached on this story, right? This story is actually in what we call the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Synoptic means just similar and the same. Like John is kind of off, he writes his gospel and he's kind of doing his own thing. But these Synoptic Gospels, all these stories, these three gospels, they all have this story. So this story is really important. And many times I think, like, especially if it's in the multiple texts, multiple gospels, it must have been something that people talked about. It must have been things that people, like, remembered. Remember that time when that woman came up? Remember we were all pressed together? Remember we were all traveling and we're so excited. I can't believe this synagogue leader asked us to go to his house and go pray for him. Like, it was amazing. And then, like, spoiler alert, like, Jesus goes to the house and she had already died, but he raised her from the dead. It's like, and so if you think about it, let's just back up a little bit. So Jesus casts out a bunch of demons out of this guy, gets in a boat, crosses the sea. This is a long day. This is a long day for Jesus. This is one of those long ministry days, right? But this story must be really, really important. And it's funny that, like, everybody's pressing on Jesus. And can I just say, if I was there, yeah, me too. Like, right? There's Jesus. Like, I would be too. I would be like, but there's this one woman. And something was different about the way she touched Jesus. She touched him, we'll just say this, with a different posture, a different mindset, in a different way. Let's go to this healing and figure out why this lady was healed. Because Jesus says in Mark chapter 5, 34, it says, daughter, he said to her, your faith has saved you. What saved her? Her faith. What saved her? Her faith. Jesus said, it was your faith that has saved you. Your faith. So many times, so we look throughout scripture, we look throughout the life of Jesus. Jesus heals in many different ways, right? We see Jesus healing in many different ways. We see Jesus healing, like, remember the guy who, we see Jesus healing somebody who was basically a whiner. Not a wino, a whiner. Yes. Complainer. Yes. Like, who is that? Remember Jesus at the Pool of Bethesda? Remember that? So if you don't know, the Pool of Bethesda was a place where I don't know how it all works together. We'll ask God when we get to heaven. But somehow the water is stirred and people go down in, and the first person gets down in there gets healed. I don't know. I don't have any theological stuff except that that's what the scriptures say. So can you imagine all the sick people on that patio. Can you imagine all the sick people that are waiting? As a matter of fact, because the guy alludes to it, he said, because when Jesus walks over to him, he says, hey, he says, what's going on? He goes, well, I'm trying to get in the water, but every time we go in the water, all these other people get in front of me. He's the lame man, right? So, you know, I kind of feel bad for him because he's lame, but then finally I go, like, oh my gosh, like, right? You feel bad for him, but then, like, everybody's trying to get in the water. Like, so I get it. So think about this. So the Bible says that Jesus walks over to him. He walks over to him. How many sick people did he walk over to get to him? Right? How many sick people? Excuse me, pardon me. Oh, excuse me. Didn't mean to step on you there. That one. Him. And he's complaining. This guy has zero faith. Zero faith in Jesus, anyway. He had some faith in the angels stirring the water, but like zero faith in Jesus. Oh, every time he could have been. And Jesus goes, stand up and walk. The man stands up, completely healed. Take up your mat and go. Then Jesus walks back. Excuse me. Ooh, I stepped on your hand. Sorry. You're going to need that healed too. Sorry. And goes back. That is what we call Jesus operating in the gift of healing. By the Spirit of God. God, remember, Jesus operated and did the things he did by the Spirit of God. Right? So he walks over this one, led by the Spirit of God. I only do the things I hear the Father tell me to do. Walks over to him, heals him, and then walks back. So that's a way that Jesus healed. But then there's other times that we see Jesus healing, and it's this word faith. This woman, it wasn't even an interaction with Jesus. It wasn't even one of those when Jesus looks at the man and says, hey, do you believe that you'll be well? Or Jesus asking the blind person, what do you want from me? This woman came up in the press and touched him and was healed. And Jesus said, you were healed by your faith. It was faith that healed her. Now, many of us come from different denominations, different backgrounds. I don't know how else to translate this scripture. I don't know how else to look at this scripture. Because Jesus didn't initiate conversation with her. But this woman came in the press, touched him, and was healed. And Jesus called it because of her faith. So there's different ways that Jesus heals. And this woman was healed by faith, initiated by her. Interesting. Does that make sense? I can hear the wheels clicking on the inside of us. Good. If this is new to you, I want to challenge some of our beliefs. And we're gonna do that. So the first thing, so what do we know about this woman? We don't know a lot about this woman. We don't know, her name's not given. We don't know her name. We know that she was considered unclean. She wasn't supposed to be there because she was bleeding. That was considered unclean. Remember we talked about baptism last week? And the part of baptism was, you know, like if you have a baby or it's that the woman's monthly cycle, like you have to be baptized in the water, and then you were made clean, right? So the whole Jewish law, it's a lot. So I want to unpack it. But she was considered unclean. Unclean. So she never stopped bleeding. So she was considered continually unclean and would have to live like outside the gates. Like Alice, she would have to be by herself, right? She had to live away. 12 years. 12 years. So we know that. We know that she heard about Jesus and said in her heart, if I were to just touch his clothes, then I'll be made well. So this makes us ask a lot of questions. And the first question is this. What did she hear about Jesus? What did she hear about Jesus? She probably heard, she may have heard about the story. Hey, there's this like demonic guy and he got like set free. And then this other person, they got healed. They got touched. This blind guy received his sight. You know what she received? Knowledge. She received knowledge about the person of Jesus, who he was, what he was doing, maybe even what he was willing to do. And it's because of that, she gained the knowledge. So one of the first things we need to know, so how can we have be people of the same kind of faith that this woman has? That's the question. I don't know about you, but I want to have that kind of faith. I want to have that kind of faith. God, grow my faith. Grow my trust in you, God. So what is that going to take? We're going to talk about two different things that's from this lady, amazing lady. And we're going to find out some things about this lady. What, when we know the will of God, right? I know like a lot of my teachers used to say this, faith begins where the will of God is known. Where the will of God is known. What is the will of God? So she must have been determined that it was the will of God for her to be well. Because she said, if I only were to touch his garment. And there's a whole thing about where she touched on his garment that we can talk about later or a different time we can discuss in your Bible studies. But if I could just touch his garment, then I'll be made well. That confidence that I shall be made well if I go and I touch his garment. Because I know Jesus and I know about his will and I know about the kind of stuff he does because I've gained that knowledge and I know that if I just go and touch him, I'll be made well. So faith begins with knowledge. Faith begins with understanding what God's will is. Well, why do you say that? Well, if Rex and Debbie call me and they say, hey, we want to invite you over, you and Julie. We want to invite, this is not a weird ask for an invitation, but we want to invite you guys over for dinner. We're like, yeah, we love these guys, right? We'd be like, yeah. So you know what we're going to do? We're going to say, well, we're going to come over Friday. How about Friday night? Friday night sounds great. That's awesome. Done. What just happened here? I literally think I just invited myself over to Rex and Debbie's house. Yeah. So what do I know? What do I know? I know Rex and Debbie's will. I know that I can fully, on Thursday, look at Julie and go, hey, Julie, we're going to Rex and Debbie's house tomorrow. We're going to Rex and Debbie's. I can fully drive over to their house, walk up to their door, knock on their door, and when I knock on their door, they're going to welcome me in. The will of God, once I know the will of God, once I know their will, I have confidence that I can go over to their house, knock on their door, and they're going to not reject me on approach. When we know the will of God, when you know what God's will is, I can boldly approach God's throne. And I can make my request. And because I know what God's will is, I know that I won't be denied upon approach. I know that when I ask of him, I'll receive it of him. Because I know his will. Just like I can walk over to Rex and Debbie's house because I know their will. They invited me over. See, faith begins where the will of God is known. We have to trust Him and know Him. See, all God's promises are yes and amen. When you ask God according to His will, His answer is yes. All of God's promises. When we approach God and we know His will, we know He won't turn us away. So His knowledge, here we go, His knowledge is the information that we need. How many of y'all believe that God is almighty? Almighty. There is no one stronger. There is no one better. How many of you believe that He is creator over everything that we've ever seen? Everything we've ever seen. You believe that? So the power is not the issue. God's ability is not the issue. It's what is His will. It's the knowledge of His will. So some of us, the things that we're facing, you don't need to know that God has the power to do it. You need to find out what His will is. You need to be confident. And you can't be confident because somebody else believes His will. You have to be confident in your own knowledge of who God is and what His will is. And then, what do we know? Let me ask you this. This will be fun. What are some of the things that you know that God's will is for you, for people in general? What are some of the things that you know it's God's will for that, for people to have, blah. Raise your hand, tell me, shout it out, whatever. Go to heaven. Eternal life. Healing. Yes. Holy Spirit, yep. What? Be in relationship with Him. Deliverance. Community. Happiness. Following His ways. Amen. Protection. Restoration. Wow, y'all are good. Y'all been in church a long time. This is awesome. Life to the fullest. Abundant life. Amen. Live long and prosper. I think that's a different movie. It is. No, that's true. I believe that. Yeah, back in the back. Peace and joy. Provision. Peace, right? How about this one? Jesus said that when people are not born again or not following God, pray therefore the laborers to go into the field. You got people that you're believing God for to follow Jesus? You know what your prayer is? Pray for laborers. How many of you believe that if you pray for laborers, that God will send laborers? How many of y'all believe that? How many of you believe that if you pray for peace, God will give you peace? Then it gets dicey. Because how many of you believe that God can heal you of your anxiety? How many of you believe that God can heal you of your depression? How many, but in physical ailments? See, it's fine until it's you. It's fine until it's you. Right? Amen? Amen. This is where it gets difficult. What does the scripture say? What is your knowledge about God in these circumstances? You're like, well, the doctor says this. Well, these other people say this. I read in Google this. This guy on Facebook, he seems to be an expert. He says that this will be what I deal with forever. All right, almighty Google. Like, who's almighty? Like, what is your faith? Where is your faith? The stress, like all the things. Oh, yeah, peace. Yep. God will give me. Yep. God will send labor. Yep. Yes, God will. What about for me? Will He do it for me? Right? Let me show you something Let me show you something that this is my favorite thing. What I'm about to talk about now is my favorite thing about this woman. This woman was persistent. Go back. It says that she spent all that she had. She spent all that she had. You know what that tells me? That tells me that when she started that issue, when that started happening, she didn't just walk over and go, I guess I'm going to be an outcast. And it's been 3 months. I guess I'm just going to be an outcast. I guess I'm just going to be maybe tomorrow. Maybe. No. She goes, Find me a doctor. Call me a doctor. Oh, that one didn't work. Find me another one. Many physicians. She did so many. She went through so many physicians. She spent all that she had. Kind of say what acquaintance, guy I went to school with. He was one of my teachers. He said, Doug Jones. He said, and we won't even pay a copay to go get something that's in our own bodies checked out. This woman had tenacity. But I don't care how much it costs, I'm getting better. I'm not going to sit over here and go, woe is me, this is forever. Suffered many things of many physicians. And even though she went to one doctor, somewhere along she got worse. So she went to one doctor and got worse. You know what she did? I'm going to another doctor. Do you see this about this woman? She's amazing. And then she risks it all when Jesus shows up. I'm not supposed to come in any crowds. Matter of fact, if I touch Jesus, he'll be unclean. The risk, the challenge, the antisocial behavior of this woman to risk everything, to come up to Jesus and touch the hem of his garment. I'm telling you. She reminds me of the person with the unjust judge. Right? The unjust judge, the story of that is like, you know, demanding justice. I'm not going to relent until I get justice. Okay, all right, quit your yelling. Okay, I got it. Okay, justice. But Jesus calls it the persistent. And the persistence, and then it's like they have this dialogue. Jesus is like, well, how much more God? You know why? How much more God? Because God's a giver. God's not like the unjust judge. When I know God's will, God's not like the unjust judge. When I go and approach him according to his will, the answer is yes. So we gotta think differently. We gotta think about these things differently. Like it's not just, he says your faith has made you well. She had the knowledge of Jesus and she had the persistence to do whatever it took to get better. Whether it's doctors, you say, well, you're against doctors? Of course I'm not against doctors. Do whatever it takes until your last breath. Pursue. Trust. Go for it. Amen? Well, we need to stir our faith up. So is it your knowledge? I could break that knowledge thing down, but I won't this morning, but I will just say it. There's two types of knowledge that we need to have knowledge about. Knowledge of God's will, and knowledge, I got a whole other teaching on that, knowledge of God's faithfulness. That God's will, yeah, he'll do it, but will he do it for me? His faithfulness. Knowledge of God's will and God's faithfulness. So, persistence. The woman didn't, I wrote this in my notes, the woman didn't act like Eeyore. Remember Eeyore? His tail falls off. His tail's always falling off. It's a thumbtack. That's the weirdest thing. It's held all done by a thumbtack. It falls off. Hey, Eeyore, your tail fall off. You want me to put it back on?
Well, it'll probably fall off again.
Right? I heard this guy say this one time. He goes, man, there's too many like Winnie the Pooh sermons, like soft sermons. He said, you know what you get when you get preached Winnie the Pooh sermons? You get Eeyore faith. God's called us as champions. God called us the overcomers.
Yes.
God has the greater one that lives on the inside of us.
Yeah. Yeah.
He's provided healing, restoration,
yeah,
that we can boldly approach the throne of grace to find help in time of need. That he has given us his life, his very spirit on the inside of us. And sometimes, honestly, we walk around like,
you know, it's going to rain this morning.
By the way, thank you for coming on a rainy, crazy Sunday in a dirt parking lot to come to Hope Church. That says something about your persistence. So give yourself a hand for that. Like, it's amazing. Thank you. I feel like I was at the PGA golf clap. That was amazing. But do you understand? Like, Jesus said, your faith has, if it's our faith that made me well, I want to learn and grow in my faith. I want to learn and grow in my faith towards God. Like, there's so many promises. All God's promises are yes and amen. The greater one lives on the, like, you say that all the time. Because I do. I say it all the time. Like, this week, like, Julie and I, and this is, I don't want to just, I said something last week, and next thing you know, I got food showing up at my house. But it's all good. Thank you. And it was delicious. And thank you. And next time somebody else goes bad, I'm going to pick up some phone calls. And I'm just going to say, because y'all are amazing. But like, so week and a half ago, my dog dies. This is about to be like a country song. My dog dies. My wife falls down and she breaks her wrist. And like little things happen. We're literally last night, we're eating. We eat breakfast. We're cleaning up for breakfast. Not breakfast, dinner. And and all of a sudden we have a, what do you call those little inset lights? Yeah, reset lights. Yeah, and all of a sudden you hear a boom, and it just falls out of the, like just, well, how did that look? I didn't touch it. Like, it just fell out of the thing. And then I looked at my car, my car's got a flat tire. My car's literally got a flat tire. Go down there, take it out, pump it up. Thank God it wasn't a fast leak. We'll take care of it. Bought the road hazard. Praise the Lord. But, and then like this morning, I pumped it all up. It was good. It was still good. It's not a fast leak. So we're going to drive it in this morning. Get in the car, hit the little the start button. Nope, it's not starting this morning. Like, what do you do with that? Like, what do you do? Jesus said, in this life, you'll have troubles. But be of good cheer, because I've overcome the world. So I can either sit back and go, oh my God, must abandon me. Or no, I can stir myself up on the inside. If you were here long enough, you remember a message I taught on Shazak. What David did, he says he encouraged himself in the Lord and go, I don't care what's going on around me. My God is good. He's faithful. And I'm not going to let these things get me down and make me have Eeyore faith. I'm going to stand up. I'm going to go to church and I'm going to preach on faith. Because if God be for me, who can be against me? Amen? It's an attitude of faith. It's a posture of faith. That no matter what I'm going to do, I'm going to be. So what is your battle? He says this to the woman, and this is really where I want to get to. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you. Saved you. I thought it healed you. He says your faith has saved you. That word is interesting. Some of you may know this word. That word saved is the word in Greek sozo. Have you ever heard that? Sozo. Sozo. And it has to do with saved, delivered, and healed. And so as I was studying this word, because, I was just like, let me go a little bit deeper into this word. And like, And so I looked up all the different places in the New Testament where this word was used. And then in my, I have a really good Bible program, and it tells me why they translated it the way they translate it. Because sometimes it's delivered, sometimes it's translated healed, right? Sometimes it's translated saved. And it was interesting that in every one of those things, as it gave the definition, it used this same word. And that word was rescued. Was rescued. Sozo, to the core of the word, means to rescue you. To rescue you. The core of that word means, so if you need to come to God, God rescues you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son. He's rescued us and brought us and saved us, sozoed us, rescued us. If it's sickness, Jesus comes and he rescues you out of that sick place. If it's deliverance, Jesus comes and rescues you out of the power of darkness and to freedom. The word for sozo is rescued. You have been rescued. You have been rescued. How many of y'all need a rescue? You have the right God. Because it is God who rescues you. Rescues. Rescues. What situation are you in? What thing has somebody or life or circumstances in your life, sickness, mental problems, difficulties? The good news is Jesus has come to sozo you, to rescue you. And the woman who wasn't approached by Jesus, but approached Jesus, and she said, your faith has sozoed you. Your faith has rescued you. And go and be healed, different word, healed of your infirmity. It's a rescue. So do you believe that God, for your circumstance, has rescued you? Do you believe? So in this world, we have a lot of access to a lot of things, honestly. We have a lot of access to a lot of information. Like literally, like everybody is Googling their symptoms. Everybody is Googling their, well, I act like this. What do I type their symptoms into Google? And out pops a whatever, right? I'm all about diagnosis. I think it's important to have a, I personally think it's important to have a diagnosis because now I know what my enemy is. Now I know what I can go after in faith. Jesus, I mean, the woman didn't start praying generic prayers. God help me. Hear me. Jesus, I mean, the woman didn't just start like, praying, God, let your will be done. She went, got up through her weakness, difficulty, social stigma, and all. With broke, no money, went to Jesus. And said, I know Jesus, because I heard about him. I know if I just, all I got to do is touch the hem of his garment. And I'll be made well. And I said this a couple of weeks ago, and I know it. Like I've been doing this so long. You know what? We prayed in faith. I'll say this: we prayed in faith on Friday night. We believed God that God was going to heal people, right? And there's a lot of people who got really like touched and healed and like. Like several, like these are like five people I know from that night that had the next day, things were different. I don't have faith for coincidence like that. Maybe you do. Maybe your faith is in coincidence like that. I don't have enough faith that just so happens that we were at a prayer thing on healing and people got better the next day. I don't have faith for a coincidence like that. I don't know. So, like, the question is, well, what happens if it doesn't happen? Okay. Find me a person in the Bible that prayed that didn't believe that God was going to answer their prayer. Throughout Scripture, the people who prayed to God, one guy prayed that the sun would stand still. And it stood still. People would pray, trusting God, that God was going to move. They didn't pray. They prayed believing God was going to show up. Even David, in his trauma and all the stuff he's going through in the book of, in many of the Psalms, like he's like talking about all the bad things that are going on. You know how he most of the time lands? But you, oh God, you're a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. Like there's something about that we can miss. And yeah, there's things that you'll never understand. There are people that we've prayed for that have died. I get it. I don't know all the answers. I don't have all the answers. I know in James it says that if you're sick, call for the elders of the church and the prayer of faith will save them. I don't know how else to pray. But trust God and believe God. And yeah, there's sometimes that our faith is weak, and I get it. And there's sometimes we have all these questions and why, but can I say the answer is to not sink over to woe is me. That's not the answer. The answer is straighten yourself up, get some knowledge. If you're going through a deal and you're studying on we just had end times. This is not a thing. But if you're studying trying to figure out the world events for end times and you're going through depression, if you're fighting a illness, I guarantee you Linda over there at that hospital is not thinking about pre and post-trib rapture. You know what she's looking up? God's healing, 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 healing. What is God's will for me in this? And what is in God's will for me in this thing? You're battling anxiety? Don't go to Facebook to try to figure out what God's will is for your anxiety. Go to the Word of God. Go to the Word of God. And yes, that incident was instantaneous. That woman was healed instantly. But so many times, healing is a process. And God wants to walk you through the process of that healing. But the end result is to get you well. I've seen people walk through this, through anxiety, and come out on the other end. And you know what their answer is? You know what their answer is? I know God better now because of going through that and watching Him walk me through that every step of the way, that God is with me. They come out of that situation going, you know, I mean, not everything, but I know that God's with me. I know it. Amen. I want to stir you up on faith this morning because God has sozoed you. He's rescued you just like baby Jessica. Was trapped in that hole with one foot up, the other foot down as an 18-month-old baby. You know what an 18-month-old baby stuck in a tube is? Helpless. She needed a rescue. She needed someone else that knew how to dig that hole and knew how to go at her and pull her out of that hole because she, in her own power, was unable. She needed a rescue. You know what you need? A rescue. And we have the one that knows how to dig the hole, to get down right where you're at, to rescue you. God is here to rescue you. Paul woke up. He had hip pain on Friday night, didn't you, Paul? How's your hip pain? None today. Amen. Did you, let me ask you this. Did you limp out of here Friday night? No. Okay. I was going to ruin my point. Way to go, God, an instantaneous miracle. Like, what's that? Okay. And then you woke up the next morning. It was gone the next morning. Come on. Let's all stand up. I want to stir you up this morning. I want to stir you up. And like I said, I know all the questions. I've been doing this long enough to know all the questions. I know all the pushbacks. But you know what the woman wouldn't get if she just stayed on the outside of the city? She wouldn't have got healed. Faith works. But you know what? You know what's 100%? That you won't get healed by God? No faith. You know, you take a chance on a Friday night and you say, hey, we're going to have healing. And like your prayer, like life, just because I need God. I need you to show up. Amen. You step out. Believe God. This doesn't have for you. This does not have to be forever. This is not the end of your story. And I go back at him again. Anxiety, depression, all the other mental. And I appreciate all of it. I understand the struggle. I don't understand. I know that the struggle is real. But stir yourself up in faith. Stir yourself up that God is bigger. God is greater. And it may not be tomorrow. But keep pressing. Keep pushing. Jesus called the woman who kept asking for bread, begging for bread. Give me bread. I want some bread. I want some bread. I want some bread. Fine, I'll give you bread. He said, that's the way prayer works. It's literally in the Bible. And we just, I don't know what doctrine people, what Bible people read. It's like, whatever, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. You know, the future's not mine to see. Right? That's not Bible. That's not Bible. Trust God. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He'll make your path straight. Look to Him. Look to Him. I just hear the word of the Lord as a correction for us all. We don't look to Him. I hear this just from His heart. I wish they would just look to me. Just like the raising of the serpent on that tree. The people looked and they were healed. I hear the voice of God just say, look to me. Look to me. Stop looking at everything else around you. Stop looking at your diagnosis. Stop meditating on your diagnosis. And meditate on me. I just hear that so clearly from the Lord. Meditate on me. Think about me. Think about Him. Dwell on Him. His very name is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals, the Lord who saves, the Lord who rescues. I'm so glad the Lord rescued me out of debt. That's a rescue. I'm so glad that the Lord rescued me out of addiction. That's a rescue. When I am out of my own mouth, said this is just the way I'm always going to have to do. I always have to deal with this. It turned out not to be true. Because God rescues. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you. So I just endeavoring to be led by the Spirit here. So if you're in this place and you're battling, so part of the old faith teaching was you just deny your symptoms and deny this stuff. That's not the way God works. Actually, God is kinder and sweeter than that. That God actually wants to walk with you through it and draw close to you. He says that you can run into Him and be safe. He says He can prepare a table before you, not that the enemies are gone. He says in the presence of your enemies. The enemies are all around, and you're just feasting on His goodness. I'll have a little bit more of that faithfulness, God. Thank you, and I'll have some of that peace. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name. And God's going to speak to you of some things that you need to do. Because there is a man part and there is a God's part. And God's going to instruct you what to do. Don't despise that. Don't quench that. What is your part? It may be. Find a good Christian counselor and go to him. It may be, you know, you've dealt with that pain long enough and you haven't, and you're basically too scared to go to the doctor because you're afraid what it might be. God says, trust me. Maybe God will say, trust me, just go, just go, go. I thank God that Debbie Ruiz, we called Debbie, she goes, you need to go to the doctor and get that thing looked at. I was like, no, Julie, it's probably just a sprain. I thank God that my wife listens to the Holy Spirit, because when we went there, the thing was cracked right down the middle and it needed a cast. Amen. Hold your hands out right in front of you. Maybe that's new to you. It's just a way that you're going to receive something. Like if somebody's going to give you something. And just say this, say, God, Jesus, I receive you as my rescuer from this situation, this mountain that I'm looking at. I thank you that you're my rescuer. And during this time, you're with me every step of the way. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. You can trust Him. You hear me? You can trust Him. Look to Him. Look to Him. Looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. God's so good. This is awkward. I want you to chew on this. Can I say one more thing? How many of you let me say one more thing? How many, raise your hand. How many of y'all let me say one more thing? That's one more thing, two more things, three more things, four more things, five more things, six more things. I heard this guy, and he was teaching on what quenching the Spirit is. And it's interesting. We think quenching the Spirit is when in a church service, like if somebody does something weird, then the Spirit of God leaves. That's quenching. That's what we've been taught. How many of you have been taught that in charismatic circles? Yeah, like somehow, like God, like the Holy Spirit's scared of like weirdness. He'd have left us a long time ago. Anyway, you know what quenching the Spirit is? Quenching, that word means quenching. It means to put out. Like most of the time it's used for like a flame. To quench it. To put it out. You know what we do when we quench the Spirit? God has spoken something to you this morning. He has spoken something to you by His Spirit this morning. He corrected something in you. And all of a sudden you went, man, that's really God. I really need to meditate on that. I really need to think about that. And if you don't, if you walk out this door and you forget, you know what that is? You just quenched the Spirit of God. So don't leave this place. If God has spoken to you something in this room this morning, as you walk out this door, meditate on that thing. Maybe you need to write it down and you need to put it somewhere where you can see it. Maybe you need to, God corrected me on some stuff this week. And man, I've been thinking about that scripture all week. That's between me and the Lord. But I've been meditating on that scripture. We don't want to quench the Spirit of God. Keep that thing up. Let that flame do everything that flame wants to do. Amen? And you. So say this. Say, I thank you, God.
Thank you, God.
That you're going to remind me
by the Holy Spirit
of the things you spoke to me this morning. You're going
to remind me
to write it down. Ooh, you said it. Amen. If God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. God bless you. Have an amazing, amazing week. Go out in faith this morning. Amen. God bless you.